KQED.
This is the California Report. I'm John Sepulvedo. Another mass shooting, this one in Rancho Tehama. About 1,500 people live in this town north of Sacramento. And their mass shooting story starts with a local man who first shot at neighbors he had been feuding with, and then at a local elementary school. Five people were killed, including the shooter, and 10 were injured, two of them children. From North State Public Radio, Adia White reports.
Jose Garcia owns La Fortuna Market near the Rancho Tehama post office. He didn't hear the shots, but he says he knew something was wrong when law enforcement started showing up.
Yeah, I've been here for 20 years. Whatever is happening right now, it surprised me because I never thought they would happen in here, you know.
Jesus Monroy was dropping off his daughter at school in the nearby town of Corning when he heard the news. Parents and school staff were talking, trying to piece together what happened. And that's how he learned that one of the victims was his nephew.
People say somebody go to the school and shooting everybody. Everybody, adults, and my nephew, they shot him in the arm and the leg.
Monroy wasn't able to reach his sister. She didn't answer her cell phone, and he didn't know which hospital his nephew had been taken to. He looked stunned and said he could only hope the boy would be okay. Assistant Sheriff Phil Johnston sounded emotional at an afternoon press conference in front of the post office.
Listen, people died here today, folks. This is a very tragic event for all of us. There are children involved.
Officials are still investigating the crime, and the FBI is involved. There's a lot to understand, with seven different crime scenes and a suspected shooter who had been in trouble with the law. Meanwhile, residents are waiting for any answers they can get. Tiffany Rogers, the owner of Coffee Addiction, says that everyone in the town knows each other, and that it's usually so quiet you can hear a pin drop.
I'm just hoping it all resolves and everyone that I know is okay and that people survive.
For those who did survive, it may take some time before people feel okay again after such a senseless act of violence. I'm Adia White in Rancho Tehama.
We wanted to give you a sense of what this town is like. It's about 135 miles north of Sacramento. It's in a beautiful part of the state. Penny McGee works at a cattle ranch just outside of town. She's lived there for almost 20 years.
There's a few lights, you know, light poles in the community, but not a lot. When it's dark out there. So, but at night, it's beautiful. You can see the stars.
McGee describes it as a quiet rural community with oak trees, ponds, and rolling hills. We're going to move on now from the school shooting. We'll update you throughout this week. We're going to focus now on Silicon Valley. Amnesty International has released a new report on how companies like Apple and Tesla deal with human rights abuses in their supply chain. KQED's Tanya Mosley has more.
The new findings come on the heels of an investigation last year by Amnesty International, which found that men, women, and children, some as young as seven, were mining in the Democratic Republic of Congo for cobalt. Cobalt is an essential chemical element used in the production of lithium-ion batteries that power things like cell phones and electric cars. Sima Yoshi with Amnesty International says they found these people mine for long stretches of time with little to no protection.
You know, the situation continues. It hasn't improved. There are still children and adults working in these similarly dangerous conditions.
Amnesty International's latest investigation looks at the human rights practices of 29 consumer product companies. It found that nearly half of those researched do not have in place what Amnesty deems acceptable standards of practice.
You do have a handful that have stepped up. That said, they're not even at that stage disclosing critical information around human rights risks and abuses.
For instance, most did not provide details on specific investigations and checks of child labor and other abuses. Apple, however, was among the best at taking adequate steps to mitigate instances of human rights violations. And although Tesla ranked high for its efforts, Amnesty says it could do more to improve its policies for detecting the risk of human rights abuses. In a statement, Tesla says it is committed to ensuring that working conditions in its supply chain are safe and humane. Amnesty's Sima Yoshi says these findings should be important to everyone.
I mean, I personally would like, you know, a phone or a battery that is ethically mined.
For the California Report, I'm Tanya Mosley.
We're going to end today with a little joy of life, one that smells like melted butter, sounds like boiling pots, and tastes like delicious crab. Today marks the beginning of commercial crab season for regions south of the Sonoma-Mendocino County line. KQED's Danielle Venton headed out to the docks in Bodega Bay, where boats have been loading up and shipping out.
At Lucas Wharf in Bodega Bay, it's go time as dozens of commercial fishing boats prepare to launch for the start of Dungeness crab season. The next few weeks will be critical for fishermen like Nick Hofflin of Occidental in western Sonoma County.
Yeah, that was the best time of year.
His boat, the Presley Capri, is at the dock, loading up on squid and mackerel for crab bait. Next to him, a boat from Eureka named the Humbug is loading up its mesh crab pots.
Coming at you, Dario.
These fishermen are relieved because for the first time in 3 years, the season is starting on time. Craig Thompson leases Lucas Wharf along with Hofflin.
It's kind of exciting because they get to go for the first time. No strike, no domoic acid.
Domoic acid is a toxin that accumulates in Dungeness crab and can cause severe illness if eaten. But health officials have given these fishermen the green light to harvest this lucrative seafood. The fishery is worth in the ballpark of $60 million for the state. It's also one of the most sustainable. Only males of a certain size can be caught, big enough that they've probably made it a couple of times already. Tom Dempsey is with the Nature Conservancy in California.
And the fishery has been well managed and sustainably managed, so people can feel good about eating Dungeness crab this season and every year.
So, as you drive into work this morning, boats are heading in with the first commercial catches of the season. If you enjoy crab, the results of my unscientific survey suggest steaming them and serving with plenty of butter and a bit of crusty bread. For the California Report, I'm Danielle Venton in Bodega Bay.
Support for the California Report comes from Barracuda Networks, cloud generation firewalls engineered for today's modern, globally dispersed networks. Learn more at barracuda.com/firewalls. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected, on the web at theschmidt.org. And the San Francisco Foundation, working with its many partners to advance greater racial and economic equity for everyone in the Bay Area.
I feel like Danielle Venton should bring some of that delicious crab into the office. This has been the California Report for Wednesday, November 15th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulvedo. Have a great day.